It's Jennifer.
Okay, thank you. All right. I'll give them another 2 minutes. How's everybody recovering? Boy, do I have a poor connection?
I think someone just came on, maybe.
Hello, this is
Jeff. So, Ed, you started to ask something, but you got beeped. I didn't hear what you said.
All right, so we got two more. So who just joined us?
Bill Barnett.
And Jeff Wozniak.
Jeff?
Sarah's here. I don't know if you got me or not.
Got you? All right, the piece I'm missing are the Tatiana Farood, Tom Donaldson, Kathy Mitch, Elizabeth Powell, and everybody else is accounted for. Dan Savage.
I'm on, Ed. Hi.
Hi. That was Michael or Dan?
Yes. No, it's Michael.
Hi, yeah, I have you because you're on the WebEx. So, okay. All right, I wish. And who's that?
Good morning, this is Dan.
All right, there's one of the people we needed.
Uh-oh.
And if we could get Elizabeth on, we'd be okay. And there she is, Elizabeth.
How'd you know it was me?
Oh, you're the only one left.
Oh, I'm sorry. 1 minute late. No, two, I guess. Sorry about that.
Minutes. Well, Tatiana's not on, but she's just getting back to work today, I think. So.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. So, a few things. First, I want to congratulate Michael for the Hank Rosetta Award. Well-deserving, and I think everyone was rather pleased. The talk went very well, and I hope you were happy, Michael, and I hope everything worked out well for you on that.
I was, and thank you very much.
Okay. And Claire and Julie, who I don't believe are on, but it may be that.
Hello.
Hey, Tatiana. Well,
all you need is a hello and you know?
I know. You're the last one on.
Oh, am I really? I'm so sorry.
That's Claire, and Claire's going to join. But Tina is the Teratology Society meeting. And Peter is attending his retirement party.
Yes.
But Claire and Julie got a paper accepted on the behavioral consequences from the Ukraine study.
That's great.
Awesome.
Long-awaited thing, so that's been accepted. Jeff, do you have any good congratulatory things that you want to mention?
Say that again.
Do you have any good congratulatory things that you want to mention?
Should I?
I don't know. All right. Okay, and Sarah had a student who had a CFAS project that was one of the Gordas awardees, one of the 12, and while he did not win the final prize, he was invited to present his talk, and there was a little screw-up there in the timing, but I understand it went very well, and he performed admirably. So, Sarah, you should be congratulated for mentoring him really well.
Thank you.
Okay, any other things that I'm missing in terms of positive congratulatory?
Well, I think that Shantanu Joshi's was told that his K-25 is going to be funded, which is, I think, exciting.
Two? All right, I did. I don't know these things, so.
Yeah, no, Bill
I don't
told him that it was going to be funded.
All right.
So.
Someone just signed on?
What?
Someone just signed on.
Yes, hi, Ed. Hi, everyone. It's Tom and Kathy.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Ed, we had papers accepted this week in the special issue on NDPAE, you and I both.
Well, that...
Separately, two papers.
Sorry, the special issue of what?
You're going to ask me the name of the journal, aren't you?
Yes.
It's something like Developmental Disabilities Current Reviews.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Are these there. Julie Cable edited a special issue on NDPAE, and I have a paper on the features of the diagnosis and how to assess for those, and Ed has a paper on adults, right?
On something.
Yeah.
So are they accepted or are they out?
Well, mine came out yesterday. I'm assuming yours came out also this week.
That was quick. That was good.
Really quick.
Well,
yeah.
It would be great then to fill out the post form, acceptance form, so we have all that information and you'll pass out that information.
Acceptance forms, meaning these were not data, so these were not in the pipeline because they weren't empirical studies, so they weren't in the concept proposal.
But I think they still are looking for slides. No, she wants slides so that she can summarize for people and like maybe a couple
mm-hmm.
slides why this is exciting data and why people want to know about this.
Yes, that should be said. The other thing should not be said in front of Dale, that it wasn't a CFAS type of paper.
Well, it was a CFAS paper. It just wasn't an empirical study.
All right, because I'm looking at the ANCANDA publication list, and they have publications resulting from ANCANDA, presentations resulting from ANCANDA, and publications supported by ANCANDA. So we want to be as positive as possible. So, but that's good. Congratulations. Any other good news that we can talk about before we get into the other things?
My postdoc, Ben Lovely's K99, was awarded just recently.
Yeah, Ben and I had a nice chat at the RSA and at the lunch, and I've talked to him a couple times. He's very positive about moving forward, and I gave him my collaborative nature speech that we hope that you guys will continue being involved in CFAS and multiple capacities then. All right. So Ben's doing an outstanding job. And I hope you enjoyed the fest trip you were at. We missed you at all today. But that's certainly an understandable reason. I fully expect you all at my fest trip. So.
Yes. That's a presumption.
No kidding. It's a presumption that I would have one.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Bill, any news on the cross-query tool that you could just briefly update since that's on second item on the agenda?
Yeah, so, you know, Helen, as you may know, is on vacation, but I know she's been working really hard on the narrow cross-query algorithms, and I think she's in a place where she's pretty much got, except for a few little tweaks, them nailed down. I don't know if Ben or Sarah or anybody else has kind of, or Leah has comments on that if they're on the call. But I think she's been making a really good progress on the cross-query tool.
I don't have anything to add. I know that it's been a few weeks, but she sent us an update and asked us to check out the work that she'd done, and we've been working on that.
Okay. In terms of developmental projects, we're in the process of issuing two subcontracts, one to Joanne Weinberg for her specific game one, which was the human project, and the other one to Kirsty Donald in South Africa, who is doing infant MRI assessments and some facial imaging in conjunction with Yoshi and Peter. So that's where we stand with that. Because they are two foreign subcontracts, we saved a little bit on indirect, and so we are looking to see whether or not we can afford to fund another one, and then to prioritize those and to see what carryover funds might be available to perhaps fund another one or two developmental projects, which I think is important at this stage of the future of CFAS. And that's what I wanted to talk about
Hey, Ed, it's Elizabeth. You said, so Kirsty got it in conjunction with who? Peter and...
Well, she has a subcontract to UCLA with Catherine.
Okay, good. So that's Shantanu Joshi.
Yeah. And,
oh, good.
But she also was a requirement that she work through Peter as well.
And,
Peter really basically is our 3D imaging facial recognition core and associated with CFAS. And so that was made to be a stipulation of that award. So they're going to have to all collaborate and cooperate. All right? Is that all right? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That's my hope.
Okie doke. All right, so the future of CFAS, and I'm assuming that you, on the WebEx that most people can see what's going on. Is everybody can look click on the CFAS publication list?
Mine's not, the link for me is not working.
Oh, anyone else?
Well, we don't control which tab you show us.
Yeah, so we see the pubs.
We see the pubs.
You can actually click on those and you can.
Okay.
You
actually can control the.
You can all control this. So.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Or you can look at my screen. All right.
I see. I got it. Thank you.
My screen or Jill's screen. I don't know whose screen we're looking at.
We're not looking at anyone's screen. We're just looking at the tab.
Okay. So if you click on the CFAS publication tab, you'll see that from the last funding period through the present, we have about 19 publications that have been attributable or associated with CFAS. And so, you know, that's not bad at all. But it would be nice to get that moving up. And I'm just going to show you an example. Does everyone know what Nadia is? Anyone not know what Nadia is?
I don't.
All right. Nadia is a recent, it's in its fourth year of adolescent alcohol exposure and primarily animal models. And they were just recently reviewed. And this is the publication list that they have on their website. So it's public information. I didn't steal it from anybody. And this was after 4 years. And they have 119. So I probably skipped ahead of myself, but Nadia was recently reviewed, and their scores were, I think, basically in the 20 range, with a couple being a little bit higher than that. And, you know, the last time we were funded, we got funded up to a score of 24. So I think that committees are getting very selective. They are really looking at things very closely. And I think we really need to try to put why we have the time to put our best foot forward. And Dale, you may have more idea about this than I do, but I am assuming that these U-type awards are going to be looked at extremely closely by review and program. And whether they're going to be leaner and meaner or funding levels are going to drop, I know there was some discussion about this with some of the INYA consortium at the RSA meeting. And so there is like a one-year push on to try to put our best foot forward, all right?
Yeah, I would just add that what everyone knows is money is tight, and since your last competitive renewal, we have a new director, and so there are some uncertainties, I guess, in how he'll prioritize things. So I agree totally with Ed that putting your best foot forward and you have time to do more of that will position you better.
And I don't think that anyone should automatically assume that they will be involved in the next CFAS. We will be soliciting new proposals, maybe looking at new priority areas. No, that's my fault. Hold on. New priority areas, and so this is not a given that every project will move forward, and so we are going to have to make some very, very difficult decisions about future directions for CFAS, how much bang for the buck each project is providing us, what we're learning from those projects that are going to move the entire field forward. So if you click on CFAS Phase 4, this was the email that was sent out asking everybody to kind of give us their aims for moving forward into CFAS 4 so we could start looking at what people feel are high priority areas that they can be involved in. And we asked for the top three lines of research that you think would make the biggest contribution to the field, regardless of what area that you're in. And as you can see, we've received things from Scott Parnell, Kathy Sulik's group, and Johan Everhart in a collaborative proposal, which I think is a great idea. Jeff Wozniak, who is been an outstanding superstar in collecting data for CFAS. Tina, who has a large, this is the Ukraine project and one of our few sites, only site where we're really getting a lot of prospective data, maybe one of the few sites. I think Jeff maybe also could contribute in this line. Sarah, who's got some behavioral ideas of where to go and some new research ideas. Tatiana Farood and Peter Hammond in continuing the automated evaluation of 2D and 3D facial images and combining, basically taking some responsibility for the combining of genetic facial brain and neurobehavioral data. And to discuss with each project what their needs are going to be in terms of subjects, whether they can recruit them where they are or whether they need help, whether we need to include additional sites where we can do diagnosis and get larger sample sizes. But these are all items that we're going to have to discuss. And then we didn't hear from the Dysmorphology Core, the Brain Imaging Project, from NOFAS or Deepak, who was asked to respond. So that's where we are right now, and I am seriously looking at these things and trying to decide what my role is going to be in CFAS 4 and what I think are some areas that I would like to push for and hopefully move forward, and then I can take these to the SAB and IEEE and kind of try to make some evaluations and decisions, because next year we will... Jill, you had... When the RFA came out last time?
I think it was September. I'm going off of memory right now. And then it was due in December.
Hey, Ed, one thing I'd like to say is that I thought that our presentations at RSA collectively, you know, showed some directions to move forward. And I'm wondering if we can get together and put some things from that presentation into context of moving forward.
You can write down whatever you want and send it to me. It's just hard for me to go back, and I don't have the, you know, I could get the presentations, I guess, but then that...
Oh, no, no, I'm saying that, I'm asking that we put, you know, from Tatiana and Sarah and Peter and me to, you know, see if we can call some ideas from that collectively.
Yeah.
So I'm just asking Sarah and Tatiana and if we can do that.
Yeah, but...
We can. I guess the one thing is we had turned in, I mean, I'll just speak for Peter and I, we had turned in aims based on discussions that we'd had. I mean, are you suggesting different directions, Elizabeth?
No, I'm just suggesting that after that session, that if we can discuss how things can be put together from that set of presentations. I wasn't involved in discussions with you.
All right. So just so that people know that if they want to continue or they want, these are the issues that I'm going to deal with over the summer. And to kind of, in consultation with the SAB, is to try to establish what are the big questions that need to be answered in the field. What are projects doing that can help answer those questions? And what projects might lead to open up new areas of research? So when it comes down to discussing the RFA with NIAAA, we have some things that we can contribute that we think are important areas, and then they can consider whether they would be included in the RFA or not. You know, we don't write the RFA, they do, but, you know, we can put our best foot forward and our best ideas forward, and that's all I'm trying to get people to start to think about, because that will be upon us before we realize it. And, you know, I'm trying to be as optimistic as I can, but realistic as I can, you know. Potentially, we could have a fantastic CFAS with an unlimited budget, but realistically, we're going to have to concentrate on specific questions, and our funding may be on a more limited scale. So I'm just trying to prepare people for that and get them to start thinking about it, because if you don't have the progress or the supporting data to justify a new area of research or a new direction or to back up your specific aims, it's going to be very difficult to get that through a review session. And what we need to do is to put as many projects in as we can that we feel are going to have the best shot at getting fundable scores in a review. All right, and last time we had a little problem with that, and I don't want that to happen again. You know, last time we went a little bit over the budget that they gave us, and so we didn't suffer too much, but we don't know whether that would happen again. If we had two components that were not in the fundable range, we might simply lose that money, and I don't want that to happen. So... I'm just giving everyone just kind of a little heads up about you know, what we need to do, and I think we need to increase our output, but we also need ideas about where you're going forward, because this is what's going to be discussed over this summer so that we can start thinking about the renewal, which that RFA will be coming out, I don't know, probably, when did you say here, Jill? I can't read your notes here.
Last time it was September.
So we're looking at September 2016.
Yep.
Okay.
When the RFA would come out, yeah.
We have about a year to put ideas together. Now, it takes a while for an RFA to get approved, so I don't know when they start working on doing it, if they decide to put one out for CFAS. But, you know, it probably takes them 3 months to go through the Dale, I don't know, to go, I mean, they all have to be approved by council and the board in building one, right?
Well, it is a process, and it takes time, and we don't know when one will be written or released at this point in time.
So we need to, I'm just bringing up that this is a serious issue that we need to be prepared for. All right, I'm not trying to be doomsday sayer, but we really need to start thinking and getting working on this, and this is what I hope to accomplish over the summer.
And just, you know, one more thing, and again, I just think it would be good if we, from that thing that we did, seminar we did at RSA, if we could, you know, think a little collectively, and again, I'm just inviting people to do that.
And I shortly. I agree completely, and that may
as opposed to independently.
If we do that, then we may need to maybe we'll have fewer projects because they'll be collaborative subcontract type projects. So, you know, we need to think. Do we need to continue to collect behavioral data? Do we need to continue collect brain data? Do we need additional populations to study? We need to start thinking about all of those things relative to what we're trying to accomplish. All right? Where we think the big progress can be made over the next 5 years. So just to think about that. And I don't know. I am now going to, let's see. Here's the central repository for the last month. And there are lots of areas where data are just not getting put into the central repository. And I have to say that this is the most optimistic report that I've gotten from Indiana in the last 6 months, where data are really getting put in here. And as you can see, though, a lot of it is coming from one site. Jeff's been doing an outstanding job, and I think if you look at the Google Docs, which we'll do in a minute, you'll see that where Jeff is right on target or above target on everything. Some of the other projects really need to, they're at less, you know, they're at 30 to 50% of their proposed goal for the entire five-year project. And that's not going to cut it in moving forward. And I'm just trying to be as frank as possible, and I'm not trying to lessen anyone's contribution here, but the reality is the reality, and I don't know how often people look at these Google Docs to see how they're doing, but they are up here, I do believe. These are from June, and as you can see, the Ukraine project is moving along, and they're on over their goal or right at their goal for two-year data. So I think that's a reliable source. They seem to be keeping up with things. And now that the paper's coming out on some of the neurobehavioral things, that relieves a lot of burden on that. And these are freely available for anyone to look at. Everybody can see them on Google Docs. These are the 3D images and saliva samples. You can see that, again, things...
We're not on that page on the WebEx about saliva and...
You're
not. You have to educate yourself, Elizabeth.
What?
You have to move forward. everyone's in charge of their own now. Just like
oh,
the one.
Okay.
So that's where we are, but that seems to be moving along pretty well, where people are doing that. And Elizabeth, you're down there on your gold on the bottom chart there.
Well, I can't see it. I'm sorry. Do I move?
Click on the on the top of the page where it says
an arrow.
01, and if you just do the right arrow, it'll show it to you. Elizabeth.
Okay. Okay.
All right, so everything seems to be moving along really pretty well there. The Ukraine 3D images, who moved ahead?
Let's go back one.
All right, the Ukraine 3D images, that's to be expected because they only bring them in at certain times for the camera. As you see, they had nothing and then a very steep incline, and I'm assuming that will happen again. They're still on target.
Yeah, we just brought a camera in there, too. That's part of it. They had some trouble with the camera they had.
That's right. And so I think, you know, we're doing okay there. The neurobehavioral subjects, you can see that...
I can't hear.
Free now, Elizabeth. There's a little, it says O2 on the top of the page.
Yeah.
Click the arrow
there,
to the
okay.
right. Page. All right, so you can see that things seem to be moving along here with some bugs in it. The SDSU alcohol-exposed kids are basically at 50% of their goal. For the younger subjects. Other ones are really on target. Jeff is above his target and doing a great job. The USC site is below its target. And alcohol exposed. And in the alcohol exposed group, it doesn't look like anyone, maybe one, had added any.
So there are issues that are... A couple of things about our site that are different. One, you know, we don't have a 3D camera.
This is behavior.
This is the behavior. You know, and each,
yeah.
each has a goal. And I'm just trying to point out where these goals, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody here or not. I'm just trying to say where effort may be put. All right, because that green line has not moved up much since April there. And you're on target on the imaging stuff, so there must be that the kids who are coming in to be imaged are not being tested behaviorally.
But that's not true at all. I think there are issues that are important as a group where we have different standards for neurobehavior. That we're not doing the same thing with neuroimaging, and that is, you know, I forget, Sarah, it's like 70% of variables put in, and
you and I can discuss this later, but the criteria to include a subject was written into the grant proposal, so that's not up for discussion. All right, that's
but no, I think it is, because I think. To say, you know, you can do nothing and you put no effort in.
I haven't said that at all. I'm just simply saying that either the data are not getting into the central repository, or the data are not being collected, or the data that are being collected don't fit the requirements that were outlined in the proposal that was funded.
Okay, well... You know, we with the neuroimaging, if we used similar standards, those numbers would be, for all data collected, might be a little different than just the kid was scanned. And so I think that we need to understand that.
All right, Elizabeth, you and I can talk about this offline with not everybody else listening. But I'm just... pointing these out, because I don't know how often anyone looks at these, and we tried to get a count, but it didn't. But again, this is one of my games for the summer, is to try to look at where we're making progress, where progress may not be as good. And I'm saying the same thing about my own site here, and at the younger subjects of SDSU. That is 50% or 30% of the target goal for the alcohol-exposed group in the younger subjects. That's really a problem that needs to be corrected. And so recruitment efforts have to get on there. And, you know, they have to meet the requirements that were funded in the proposal for younger subjects. So I am just pointing out where these things exist. And I'm just doing it so that people are prepared for the renewal, all right? I'm not trying to embarrass anybody here or anything, because the administrative corps could use lots of embarrassing or deserves lots of embarrassing things. So I'll take full responsibility and of not doing all the things that I could be doing. I apologize for that, but I'm sure if we had an administrative corps progress, relatively flat all the way across. So when we look through NeuroWin, we see that, you know, for the most part, things are on target. The Emory site, the year two, the second A2 seems to be low to me, because some of those kids, if they were first tested in April of 2015, should be have brought back for scans for 2015, and yet the line's flat. So, you know, I think that that's an area that people also need to start paying attention. Otherwise, they're going to miss the couple-month time window on the two-year scan. But, again, you know, Jeff is right on target or above target on everything. SDSU has got to move things up. And that's where we are. Emory needs to know why they're not doing the year two scans, but the two-year time, the longitudinal scan. But so this is where we are, and I think people need to take realistic appraisal of this and see what they can do to remedy the situation. We don't have progress reports on other things, but you know, I'm still waiting for Ken Jones' CD or his telemedicine project to come to some type of. So everybody has different problems, and I'm just trying to, in a nice constructive way, is to tell people that these are issues that are going to need to be considered in the next year and a half as we move forward. Okay? And if anyone wants to discuss their individual issues and problems with me, I'm happy to do that. Just email me and we'll set up a time to call. All right. Any questions or issues or comments?
Yeah, I would just say that both Bill and I here have been watching the progress of these graphs, and we've been concerned as well. And I think tying it in with where we started here and kind of positioning yourself best for a successful school, I think you want to get these subjects recruited sooner rather than later, so that you have time to write the papers that those subjects will enable you to.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm bringing it up now, because you know, publication lag, the writing lag, you know, they all add up. And if we don't start early enough, we're going to be in trouble. And the recent reviews of these U applications has me concerned. You know, last time we had, I can tell you here in a second, I think I can anyway, We had 3 10s and 11, and we did really, really well. I just worry that we, you know, that the review groups are, the U applications are a significant portion of the NIAAA portfolio. And there are groups of individuals who are R01, people trying to get R01s, who are saying too much of this money is going to these U type of things. Now, that's a decision that NIAAA has to make about whether they want to continue to fund large centers and U applications. But what I want us to do is to be able to put the best foot forward when reviewed. And that's all. And to give people plenty of time and plenty of warning that, you know, these are, times have changed, and we need to be very mindful of that. All right? You know, I'm
just going to say one more time, I know you're tired of hearing from me, but I think that the human data that we're collecting, we need the different components. So, you know, different sites have different accessibility to Ken Jones, for example, or the 3D camera. And if you're counting data as being in based on the data being collected, that's different than the neurobehavior, which is we're testing kids, we're scanning them. I mean, there's a reason why there's an offset between neuroimaging and neurobehavior. And I just think if we have different standards from different projects, I really think we need to come together to see how to remedy that. That's just...
What I don't understand is there are not different standards. The standards were outlined in the projects that were submitted and funded.
But that's assuming that you have perfect everything.
Well, the review group didn't say... You can test 2-year-olds to 12-year-olds if you're having problem recruiting anybody else. So that's the issue that we're facing. We can't test 25-year-old kids or
we're not.
And say that they're included. I just use that as an example because I know no one's doing that. All right? But the protocols were outlined and approved. So all I'm saying is that for the PI of a particular project, to include the multi-site data, those multi-site data all have to correspond, collect the same data, collect it on the appropriate age groups, and then put it in the central repository. And that occurs as people contribute to your imaging studies, or as people contribute to the neurobehavioral, or as people contribute to the 3D facial imaging. We have to meet the standards that were outlined in the proposals.
Okay, well, I'll look at the...
I will talk to you privately about this because I don't think we're doing either one of us any good. All right, just hashing it out here on the phone. I'm just trying to make people aware of where we are and the timeline that we have to correct things. All right, that's all I'm trying to do is so that we can put our best foot forward in 2016, continue to have CFAS and entertain and resolve important issues in the FASD field, and move the field forward more than just incrementally to have some real changing. I think we've done that when we added the 3D facial imaging project. I think we moved it into a direction that no one else was doing or no one else was doing the way we're doing. Then by combining it with the neuroimaging data, the behavioral data, I think that was a really major significant advance in the field of FASD. I think the genetic work going on, that identifying these genes that may affect facial shapes and forms, and seeing how alcohol interacts with those genes, then looking at it like as we heard in the symposium, moving it from animals on to the humans, and, you know, in the two last CFAS symposiums, RSA, I think they've been incredible moving forward. I don't know how many of you saw NBC News last night, but there's a guy or a company now that's taking people's DNA and recreating their facial images based upon that. That's not real that impressive because it's, you know, it's not the things that we're interested in, but these are hot areas that I think could make not just be the incremental advances in the field, but rather really substantial rethinking of an area in the field. And that's where I think the biggest bang for the buck comes in CFAS. So that's all I'm trying to say, and I hope I haven't upset anybody. And I think we had a good discussion at lunch that I would like to continue, but Ken is at the teratology meeting today. But, you know, now I'd like to hear from the Science Advisory Board. Dan, John?
Yeah, I think you've laid out what the next several months, you know, have to involve from everybody. Very well, Ed. Thanks for doing that. And I think that, yes, looking for those next big questions, you know, where the key advances and innovations are going to come from, is always challenging. You know, I think, but there's still a lot of talent in this group. And that being said, you know, it doesn't mean that there isn't opportunities for the individuals to be, you know, diverging on their own into other directions. I think I forget who, but a few of you at the beginning of the of this call today mentioned grants that are coming in. I think, you know, continuing with the collaboration within CFAS is getting R01s and training grants is another way to build the portfolio and to keep projects going and moving in the directions that the individuals are most interested in. And I think it builds the program as a whole if those things can be included under the umbrella.
I agree. Spinning off R01s is a major thing that we have not been all that successful at, with few exceptions. Johan, I think, has done a really great job of that. Kathy, I think, has spun off some stuff with Scott, and I'm hoping that, you know, we can continue that. You know, these views, I'm not sure that they were conceived of as being these lifelong funding mechanisms, but rather to make a bold move in a field, and you know, that takes time. COGA's been going on for years, but I think COGA was probably the first view. But that was a congressional mandate at the time. So, but, you know, I think we really need to think about it. Dan?
Well, I mean, just to sort of echo some of the things you already said, Ed, that, I mean, one way to look at this is what if there isn't another CFAS, there's no RFA, or it's not funded. I do believe all of the projects, the developmental as well as the existing major components, need to be thinking about what will you do if this is not renewed? What's the plan B for spinning off R01s or R21s or other mechanisms to continue, you know, some of the work that's going on and needs to continue? And then do that even now while, you know, we're trying to think about what would be the framework for the next cycle. And then when we have more information, there is an RFA, and you say that, you know, it's likely even if this mechanism continues, it may be a smaller amount of money. We may just have to be in a position where if we know what the projects are, not only the existing ones but other new ones that you want to hear about, that there's already a plan for how what we can package together once we know what the size of the award could be and how best to manage that going forward. So I think all the investigators need to be thinking about that. What would they do without CFAS?
I don't want to be that pessimistic.
I don't. It's a worst case scenario, but and you know I'm not suggesting that people think about that, you know, or be preoccupied by that. But I think, you know, there should be some thought given to how these things could spin off into other mechanisms and still go forward. Because it seems like not all of them will, as you have said, and there may need to be space for some different directions going forward. So I think that's just going to be all part of the planning process, and we have just a year to figure all this out.
Yeah, I don't want people to take their best ideas and turn them into R01s. I want them to put them into UO1s.
Well, if it all fits together.
If it fits together, it'll all work.
Yeah.
Michael? Michael's still there? Still online.
No, I am. I'm sorry.
You're
I was
muted.
Muted. So I want to, I don't want to repeat what's been said. I endorse everything that's been said so far. The clock is ticking, and we have to re-energize CFAS for the next iteration. I want to pick up on some threads from the meeting and from the lunch that I think were good suggestions for directions that some of the existing projects might take. One of them is to make practical or widely available some of the projects that have reached a point where they might become clinically useful. And in particular, the discussion I'm thinking of was, are we reaching a point or should we be driving towards a point where, for example, Sarah can reduce her behavioral profile, the one that's now been stratified to optimize information with a minimum amount of testing, to put that on a tablet and to test the validity of that in a field-based way where we can start to take advantage of technology that's in the field that would allow us to expand our numbers. The same is true. We had this discussion with Peter. Are we nearing a point where we can move from complex 3D cameras to something that's on a phone where images wouldn't be necessarily exactly as good as what we can do with a now portable 3D camera, but where we would expand the opportunities for sending images in by many log orders and have cloud-based software that could analyze it. And I think that those two projects in particular lend themselves to that kind of work, and I think that there's a logical extension of what Ken does also that we need to see follow through into something that's practical and clinically useful that still has a research base, same as what we talked about for a simplified behavioral test, a way of getting facial images into expert analysis from any part of the world using tablet-based or phone-based technology. That's not necessarily innovative at a scientific level, but it can become so if you leverage the wide base of that technology in the world to be able to take advantage of hundreds, thousands, or tens of thousands of people who are willing to put information in. So that was one idea that we talked about at lunch that lends itself to bringing some of the projects forward to a place where we're really able to say, this is what CFAS did, and here now is a useful paradigm or a useful protocol that can be used to enhance diagnosis.
Now, I think the marriage of technology and our data collection is an incredible opportunity. So I completely concur with you on that.
I agree with you, Michael. This is Dale. But I could see down the road a tool that goes beyond fetal alcohol-associated features to other facial anomalies that are syndrome, genetic-associated, that could help that internist out in the middle of nowhere make a call or, you know what I'm saying, just... I think the fetal alcohol face can be one of many faces that could be in the pocket of physicians or dysmorphologists, pediatricians in general.
Yeah. But you know, something that they can really just mail in to the cloud,
yeah,
and have an algorithm, as Peter was hinting at,
yeah,
where you can say yes, no, maybe, and have that available in an office, like a rapid test for strep throat. And that's greening a little bit, because I'm not sure the field is ready for that. But there may be a way to link what we have and to make it more field-based and more practical for clinicians in many different parts of the world. That would be a significant contribution.
Yeah.
And it would allow us to take what we've learned and make it widely available. And as well as giving us a power of N to be able to expand what we're doing. You know, people who send things in by phone can send spit samples. I mean, there are lots of ways to do this that people are doing already in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I've already sent around a company website that's trying to do this with the iPhone pictures and multiple dysmorphic syndromes. They are not at the level of that we are in their analysis, but they are trying to make a marriage between that readily available technology and helping people in the field make genetic diagnosis. So we want to do the same thing for FAS, and we want to make it, you know, widely available and readily accessible. So when the WHO wants to do this study in sub-Saharan Africa, it is available to them without having dysmorphologists go there. You know, Deepak wants to do a project in Cambodia. The problem is that it takes 8 hours to get from one site where you look at 3 kids to the next site where you look at 5 kids. And no one has the time able to do that who's trained to look at, Ken Jones. I mean, he's not going to travel, you know, 8 hours for a month to round up 100 kids, doing that every day. So that's a great idea for future consideration. I'm sorry, Michael, I didn't mean to cut you off. Any other comments?
No, I think, as you pointed out, bringing up CFAS Phase 4 suggestions from Tatiana and Peter, these are ideas that we've begun to talk about. It may be at some point there's an SBIR connection or some other way to link this to people who can accelerate the development of an app. But that's something that we really should be thinking of doing, because that was one of the original intents of CFAS, which was to facilitate the diagnosis, to be able to use data or criteria that don't currently exist in the diagnosis that we can discover through these continuous variables, like the facial imaging variables that are being developed, and to help people understand better the people who are in their offices and what they might have. So I think it would go a long way.
Yep, I agree. And, you know, I think there are lots of issues about the diagnosis. You know, I brought up some of them. I think there's some ethical issues that we achieve that that are moving forward and things like that. Did I leave out anybody? Dale, you have any other?
I've done enough talking, I think, here.
Mark, Dale, we value your input tremendously.
Thank you.
I know Bill Barnett is ready to handle as much data as we can throw at him. So
we can store more data than you can give us, so.
I'm sure you can. I was reading that what you have there now, and it's like unbelievable, you know, but I'm afraid I'll never pass your security screen to get access to it all. So, alrighty, anything else? Any other comments? Closing comments? All right, then. We'll talk next month. If anyone wants to talk about any individual project in my office, give me a call. All right?
Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Did,
you're so awesome.
Did Ed piss off a lot of